Happy Thursday. It's New Year's Eve, and I'm Gab, and he's Jules, and we're here for you. The Gab and Jules Show isn't abandoning you.
Never.
No. We're counting down the last few hours of this wretched 2020, but hopefully you can do it in our company. Yes, Jules?
Yeah, of course.
And don't worry, we'll be back on Monday. We'll be talking more football, but we've got a pretty packed show because we had La Liga. We have United 3 points off the top of the table with a game in hand, which is no doubt exciting. And of course, Jules, we have to start with what's happening here in the sceptered isle here in the United Kingdom. We've had more than 100,000 positive cases in the last 48 hours in the general population. We've had a whole raft of cases in the Premier League, and we've had the cancellation of Everton against Manchester City and Fulham against Spurs. It feels like everything is going off, and now all of a sudden, until now, you know, okay, we're not epidemiologists, I'm getting variants or whatever, but until now, we're facing the reality that we already have a congested fixture list. Things could be going off the rails a little bit.
You're right. It's really worrying that we had, I think, 18 positive cases in the whole of the Premier League test this week, which was the highest we've ever had. Even back in the pandemic, back in the restart, we never had that many.
Back in the pandemic. This is the pandemic.
I get what you're saying. But you have to explain to me and to everybody watching and listening. I thought if you had 14 players fit and ready to play, you should play your game. How come those two games were postponed? Where for Man City, right, we hear there's just five players who tested negative, and for Fulham, we don't even know how many. For all we know, it might be just one, and then the game was postponed.
Okay, I'll explain this because it's caused a ton of confusion. Okay, so the rule in the Premier League is and was going into the season that you have to have, if you have fewer than 14 fit players, including one goalkeeper, then you basically automatically get to postpone a match. Okay,
but that's not the case here, right?
That is not the case here. We don't. This is part of the problem, is we don't know how many fit players they have, because this is one of the big screw-ups here. Is there's a complete lack of transparency from everybody involved, right? The clubs issue statements. Oh no, privacy. Privacy. What? Right. But the Premier League told us, and it's a bit one of those things, if you remember Animal House, you know, double secret probation. Like, sorry, oh no, but yeah, that's the rule. But then we can also decide on a case-by-case basis.
Okay,
maybe you want to put that in the rules, that you can decide on a case-by-case basis. Listen, most important thing is a player's health, right?
Yeah, of course.
And I want to make this very clear to Man City fans, because obviously, given that it's Man City, people have started, drawing all sorts of conclusions. Health and safety is the single most important thing. And also, I don't think Manchester City get any kind of real advantage here from postponing this game. Because if you look at their fixture list, I think in the next 3 months, they have one free, if they advance in the FA Cup, they have one free midweek date. Okay, so let's be clear on this. Manchester City do not get any kind of advantage from this.
Yeah.
That said, I would have liked, and it's not Manchester City's job, it's the Premier League's job, to come out and say, okay, we said we decide on a case-by-case basis. This is the situation with Manchester City. We've had these many positive tests, and these independent doctors have looked at it and said there is the possibility of a flare-up. And they were tested on this day. These people tested positive. If you don't want to give their names, that's fine. These players tested positive, these many players. Because right now what we have is a whole bunch of rumors and uncertainties. And well done, Everton, for coming out and demanding transparency here, demanding clarity and saying, okay, what happened with Manchester City? You know, they shut down their training ground. Then the next day, everybody tests negative again. Because I think it's a legitimate suspicion that this has a lot to do with the testing regimen, which isn't particularly good. Yeah, remember, it was twice a week?
Yeah,
then it went down to once a week?
Yeah.
I think, and it's a legitimate call by the Manchester City doctors to make, look, we got these tests back on the 25th, right? We had two guys positive. Then we did another round of tests. Then we had all these asymptomatic, all these guys who had not tested, who had tested negative, but were showing symptoms.
Yeah.
And because it takes time from the infection to you to actually test positive, we had a legitimate fear. That's fine. That's legitimate,
completely.
Right? But I want a statement that says that. I want a statement from the Premier League that says that.
Yeah.
I want transparency, and that's what Everton are asking for. And that's right.
Yeah, but this is the Premier League. This is not the league south of Hertfordshire with, like, you know, plays on Sunday morning. This is the best league in the world. And Mourinho was right yesterday to be so
furious.
Tell us
what Mourinho did.
Mourinho and his players had no idea if that game against Fulham would happen or not. They travelled to the stadium. They were ready there, although they still didn't know how do we prepare. Do we get changed? You know, do we think about warm-up?
Less than 4 hours before kickoff.
And of course he's mad.
He sends a tweet out saying it's less than 4 hours to kickoff.
We still don't know.
Best league in the world.
And they're just there waiting. And of course he's a bit sarcastic, but he's right. This is the Premier League. You cannot treat all fans around the world, your own players, your own managers, your own clubs like that, just cancelling a game 2 or 3 hours before kickoff. This is not the way it works. And for all the broadcasters who paid millions of money, who are waiting for that game and instead would have to show like some, I don't know, US series instead or whatever. That's not how you do things.
I think you can cancel it. I have no problem with them canceling it. They could cancel it while the players are walking out of the tunnel if they think it's unsafe. But you owe it to your fans, you owe it to your stakeholders, the 20 Premier League clubs. Because I tell you what, it's not just Everton who are annoyed. It's not just Spurs who are annoyed. There's other clubs saying, well, what happens to us? What happens if we have a suspected outbreak? You know, what chance do we have?
Yeah.
What are the freaking rules here, right? When you Premier League, you say, oh, well, we spoke to an independent medical advice. Okay, who is it? Who is it? You know, is it your dog with a stethoscope, or is it Dr. So-and-so from so-and-so?
Yeah, you're right.
It's all this murkiness, and all it does is just engenders more suspicion, more venom, more nastiness, and that's not what we need.
And
right
like
now.
You reminded me when we were preparing for the show, when Aston Villa and Newcastle game was postponed, as you rightly said, they were both part of the whole discussion.
Exactly.
They were all together, and then the decision was made.
Yeah, so I don't blame Man City, let me be very clear.
Or Fulham.
I blame the Premier League here. They're not handling this well. Do a better job. Sam Allardyce has come out, and he's not the only one. He's said that, you know, he's 66 years old. He's vulnerable. Of course, he couldn't possibly have known that there was a global pandemic going on.
Yeah, don't take the job then.
West Brom job 3 weeks ago. But he has a point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course he has a point.
About the risks involved. And he's come out, and he's suggested a two-week break or a four-week break. It was quite interesting because the Premier League saw fit to put out a statement saying, no, we're not considering it. We're confident in our testing system and blah, blah, blah. I thought it was interesting that they came out and said they're not considering it, because I can tell you for a fact that at least three clubs that I know of have looked at it and saying that they're going to put it forward. The Premier League is nothing other than 20 clubs or equal shareholders. So it doesn't really matter what the Premier League say in a statement. It matters
what the clubs decide, exactly.
Right? The one thing I have a bit of an issue is, when did he become Dr. Sam Allardyce, MD, the world-renowned
epidemiologist? He can't even put his mask properly.
that's a bit...
That drives me mad, but anyway.
This is obviously a decision for the scientists to decide if it keeps people safe or not, right? And that has to be the single most important thing. And we're not qualified. Sam Allardyce isn't qualified to go and decide this. So I'm open to the idea.
But, okay.
If they think that this is going to make a difference.
Okay. A two-week break. Yeah? 2 weeks. 2 weeks of a break. How many days of the players will have? How many days before you go back to the... You can't just have 2 weeks of holidays and then come back and expect the players to play a game 3 days after coming back, right? So in those 2 weeks, the players will have, maybe let's say, just to be generous, a week off. What will a week off do? Nothing. And then a week later, they will go back to training like they do now. Sam Allardyce will be on the training pitch, or at least his staff, and he'll be in his office. So in the end, unless you stop for a longer time, and then, okay, maybe that might be worth it, because you do your bit to help fighting the pandemic and the virus spread and all of that. But 2 weeks changes nothing.
No, then I agree. 2 weeks, it would need to be 3 weeks and then a week of training, or 2 weeks and 2 weeks
of training.
Yeah, so
you can't, at least four, going into six.
And I think what you need is, I think, serious testing. And I don't know that we're getting serious testing, because if a club like Manchester City, who, you know, have some of the best sports science in the world, if they come out and, you know, if you start raising the issue of false negatives, well, false negative is really, really bad, right? That's something that needs to be evaluated.
Yeah, start by going back to two batches of tests every week instead of just having gone back to one.
Now, there's another factor in this, which is obviously if you do have a break, or if you're forced to take a break, you have a problem because you have Euro 2021 at the end of the season. The season's already madly congested as it is. And this really bugs me about, it's not just the Premier League, it's Serie A as well. I believe it's La Liga too. Mm. There is no contingency plan if they have to step down. So in other words, if you do have to take, say, a month off, and you're not able to fulfill all your fixtures, people have asked for this. People have said, well, what is the plan B if we can't finish the season? Can we maybe look at the league table, have some sort of maybe a playoff system where we play fewer games so that we can determine a champion, right? But you have to agree that in advance, because otherwise what you're going to get is you're going to get certain teams saying, no, I'm against it because I'm this far in the table or that far in the table or whatever, right? They haven't done this. In Serie A, the guys, Gravina, he's the head of the Italian FA, he's been asking for playoffs all season long. Let's do this. No, nobody will agree for a contingency plan for a playoff or a reduced schedule. Nobody's done that. Nobody in the Premier League, right? I checked and said, we're working on
something. We're back to the debate that we were having before we start.
This is the worst kind to have a debate.
The same.
We're halfway through the season.
Same. Yeah, of course. Of course. I don't know if blindly they just think that everything will go ahead and you will be able to finish like we did after the restart.
No, you know what they want to do? I think. They figure, okay, look, Euro 2020, look, there's no, you can start next season later, right? Because there's no World Cup in 2022. There's no Summer World Cup in 2022, right? So worst comes to worst, we'll just go to UEFA and make the move Euro 2020 again.
Of course, yes.
They can play it in August,
that
right?
That's simple.
Yeah, you know what? UEFA have signed contracts. They've already ripped them up once before. You're going to make them do it again? Because you can't come together with a way of finishing your league in a global pandemic when you knew it was there beforehand?
You know, I looked yesterday, Man City, if they go all the way in every competition they have left now, so you play the whole Premier League season, they go into the final of the FA Cup, final of the League Cup, final of the Champions League, they've got 39 games to play still. It's just impossible. It's impossible. Even if you give them a 1 week break, a 2 week break, whatever, it's impossible that there will be enough days in the year for them to play all those games. Impossible. So either you hope and wish that they get knocked out by Aldershot United or whatever in the first round of the FA Cup, and then they lose to the semi-final of the League Cup against City against United, and then in the Champions League by Mönchengladbach early, and that's it. But otherwise, it's just impossible.
They won't be able to fulfill their pictures, I know. And you know what? I got to say, you should have seen this coming. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/gab. Just go to Indeed.com/gab right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/gab. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right, Jules, after 6 wins in a row, Real Madrid's run comes grinding to a halt, held 1-1 by Elche, and you're going to tell me it's the curse of Marcelo.
I mean, come on. Every time he starts, they don't win. Either they lose or they draw, but they just don't win. That's what he does now. He's useless. Just get rid of him, Zizou. I don't understand why you keep him.
Okay, to be fair to Marcelo, he looked good going forward in the first half. He hit the woodwork, right? He's not the reason they gave up that stupid goal. That would be the other fullback.
Yeah.
It was usually reliable Dani Carvajal.
Yeah, usually he's better than Marcelo. But.
I mean, I don't want to... They had chances, right? They could have won this game. They didn't see it out.
Yeah,
I kind of feel that when you manage a lead and you're prospective champions, you have to take it to the end. And this team simply doesn't seem to be able to do that. consistently, or rather, they do it for a while, and then all of a sudden, oh look, here's Elche. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they just go back to some of the weaknesses that they have, and we saw it. We saw it against Eibar, and they had a two-goal cushion early on against Eibar, and they almost got, pegged back or whatever the word is to go back to 2-2, and they were lucky in the end, and they won 3-1, and in the end, we said, okay, they had a little scare, but they saw it through. Not this time, and that's the issue. And you know, if you take your eye off the ball like they did at the start of the second half, in the end of the first half. Then there's that risk at that level that with VR, especially now, it comes back to haunt you.
It's interesting because when this happens, right, people go and they second guess the manager. I mean, it's kind of what we do here twice a week, right? Second guess manager decisions. And people saying, oh, well, why did he leave Asensio on? Should he have gone with two strikers earlier? You know, but the reality is you're suggesting that this is mental, though. This is them switching off. It's not a question of talent. It's not like a front line of Asensio, Benzema, and Lucas Vasquez.
No, I can't. Although,
isn't enough to beat.
No. Yeah. Although I agree with you that I was surprised he waited until the 77th minute to bring on Hazard and make a few changes, Valverde as well. And why not doing it earlier? Elche scored 52nd or 54th minute. Why waiting so long between they came back to 1-1? And then you suddenly have 10 minutes left and you go like, oh no, 10 minutes, what are we going to do? Well, let's try anything. Because there was not really any logic to the substitutions that he made, and they actually didn't make that much difference either.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was, 20 minutes before the substitutions?
Yeah.
That's a long time. And if in that time period you had seen them continuing to create chances, that's fine, you stick with it. But it felt as if it wasn't happening. It felt even before the equalizer.
Yeah.
It didn't. It felt like they took the lead. They had a couple of chances in the first half, and then they were completely flat in the second half. And that's really tough to swallow when you have a veteran team who's supposedly built for these situations, right?
Yeah, I mean, completely.
Were this a different side, we'd be talking, oh, there's a lack of leadership, a lack of winning mentality. You can't throw lack of winning mentality at a team that has Sergio Ramos and Toni Kroos and Luka Modric and Karim Benzema in there.
And
right?
Casemiro, no, definitely
not. It doesn't work.
No, but what was interesting is that earlier you saw Atletico Madrid seeing through their game, they won the lead against Getafe as well. Okay, they were at home, although I don't think that changes anything right now. But just by defending, but they were a bit shaky at times, but still. And Real Madrid, you thought, okay, they will go do the same now. When I saw they took the lead with Modric, I thought, okay, this is it. This is what we've been used to from that team. And actually, in the end, it didn't. And I heard the frustration of Zidane after the game in his post-match interviews. And I'm just like, but maybe that's on him as well.
2 points behind Atletico Madrid, who've played two fewer games. They need a run and they need a spark. And I think, very obviously, they need it immediately.
Yeah.
Right now in January.
Yeah.
All right, Jules, let's play director of football at Real Madrid. Because they can look across town at Atleti and say, yeah, we're behind them. But equally, Atleti, you've got major financial issues, as we know.
Yeah.
They can look across the country to Barcelona and go, ha, right? But, you know, it's a little bit like being the tallest of the seven dwarves in Snow White. How do they get out of this? I mean, is this the Modric, for example, has played really well? Do you extend him? He's been talking to them.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos, and you know, because obviously somebody linked him to Tottenham. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw.
And I'm like wondering, okay, I mean, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, of course.
Does Sergio Ramos really want to team up with his BFF?
I know.
Jose Mourinho again?
Can you just imagine?
I mean, what should the priority be?
So I think Modric would get a 1 year extension, which is the rule, by the way, when you're over 30 at that club, like in many other clubs, where you just get 1+1+1 because
many other clubs, but not.
Okay, but not Arsenal. That's what you mean, yeah, of course.
Sorry, you kind of gave me the alley oop there. Okay, fine.
The problem with Sergio Ramos is that he wants a 2 year deal, and he also wants a pay rise when he's already on a lot of money, but. According to report, he wants 15 million net a year, which is a lot of money when you're 34, 35, plus a 2 year deal. So I don't know if this one
will. Somebody explain to him that he's not going to get that anywhere else?
No, well, unless
he
him
goes to China
and his
anywhere.
Brother, who's looking after him and
Rene?
His interest, Rene, believe so, or maybe they know already, so I don't know. But you're right, I don't know who, you know, even Thiago Silva And okay, I'm not comparing Thiago Silva to Sergio Ramos, but you know, Thiago Silva got a 1+1 year deal at Chelsea.
Yeah, it's got to be 1+1.
This is, you know,
yeah.
This is what happens. But so this one might be a bit more tricky for Madrid to do. But right now, the only thing they can do is extend those deals. You extend Modric, you extend Sergio Ramos, you extend Casemiro. That's what you look at, because I just don't think financially they've got the money to go and replace them. If Sergio Ramos leaves, what do you do? Well, you can't play with Eder Militao or Nacho with Varane. This is not Real Madrid. You can't stand them. So you need to go and buy someone, right?
I think what you do is you quietly see, all right, who are my saleable assets, right? I always talk about this, right? Who are people that we can go and we can raise money with?
Yeah.
You'll get money for Rodrigo. You'll get money for Vinicius.
Yeah, but
you'll
get money for Valverde. Do you want to get rid of them? Do you want to sell them?
Honestly, of those three, I don't think you want to lose Valverde, also because of the position he plays. Oh, and you'll get money for Odegaard, right?
Yeah.
Of those four, I think you have to look at that and say, okay, we've evaluated Rodrigo and Vinicius long enough, right? One of these two guys is going to make it. One of these guys is not.
Yeah.
And you make a decision. And then if you can get 30, 40 million, and of course, because it's Real Madrid, you put the recompra in.
Yeah.
Then you bite the bullet and you do that. And then with that money, you get another central defender, perhaps, or another midfielder, or something like that. If you want to start putting all your money away, hiding it to make that big Kylian Mbappe bid in a year's time, well, then you move to or Erling Haaland or whatever. Then you move towards that. But I think you have to start thinking in those terms. I think you can probably get some money for Asensio too.
Yeah, maybe.
Isco, I'm not so sure. I think Isco might need to be a Gareth Bale loan situation.
Yeah,
but the problem is always these guys make a ton of money, and they're difficult to shift. It's something that everybody across Europe is facing right now. But I think you have to bite the bullet on that.
Yeah,
you know,
because there's also the Karim Benzema situation where he turned 33. You know, he's turned 33 at the end of this month. He's 33 now. He's obviously still
amazing.
Oh, you'll
get some money for Jovic.
Yeah, but what do you do after Benzema? You know, Benzema is not going to play at that level forever. So
no,
he's got maybe...
You get another year and then Mbappe comes and you're sorted. Or home.
So I said on Monday, I don't think right now Real Madrid can afford Kylian Mbappe. I don't think they have 200 or 250 million euros, because that's the package that it will cost you between the transfer fee, his wages, the commissions and etc. I don't think they've got that money right now to do him in the summer. And again, like you rightly mentioned on the show last night on ESPN FC, would you really want to spend all that money on one player when you clearly need, you know, you clearly could do with two or three in different positions?
Yeah.
How would you spread that money? Or would you go for Kylian this summer because, I don't know, because you think that he's the answer right now?
I genuinely don't know what the answers are. This is way above my pay grade. And this is where I think we're fortunate that we get to be in the media and we get to criticize and evaluate the decisions because these are really difficult decisions to make. And that's because this is not... Sometimes we criticize people who make dumb decisions, like say, oh, do I want to go back to Arsenal? No, I'll leave that. No, but you know, or the way Inter's been run the last couple of years, really short-termist, right? You can argue maybe Real Madrid were short-termist before, perhaps, but obviously they couldn't have predicted Eden Hazard would be injured the way he has been, right? But now they really face difficult decisions, and you can easily see the pros and cons of both, because there's also an argument, hey, look, if I'm Real Madrid, I look around Europe and I say, everybody's got major problems, right? Even Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
How old is Robert Lewandowski? He's in his 30s now. He's 32,
32,
right? So maybe this is a time for me to double down. Maybe this is a time for me to do what Chelsea did in the summer, spend a little more, and in a couple years I'll have all these assets. You know, so there's pros and cons to everything. This is a really, really tough one. I think it requires more forensic examination, and listeners, we'll bring it to you in the new year.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at ikea-usa.com today.
Enough Real Madrid. How about some quick hits instead?
Let's go, Gab.
Liverpool are held 0-0 by Newcastle United. Jules, Thiago Alcantara is back off the bench, but they did drop 4 points against Newcastle and West Brom. Reason to worry?
And not long after dropping two against Fulham as well. Klopp was happy after the game against Newcastle, saying the result is not what we wanted, but the performance was good.
They did create a lot of chances.
They created a lot of chances, okay. Against West Brom, it was not as good. Against Fulham, it was not as good. So maybe not to be worried too much. And they're still top of the table.
Yeah, but you think you'd rather have a big lead going
into
New
Year's. But they had 13-point lead last year. Only 3 this year with the game. Played too much, more than United. So, hey, maybe they should be worried. Marcus Rashford delivers a winner deep in injury time as Manchester United beat Wolves 1-0. Gab, if they win their game in hand, they will draw level with Liverpool at the top of the table. Could they actually do it? Go all the way?
Yeah, they need to play a lot better to do that. I mean, look, I think they deserved to win this game. I think Wolves had a lot of absentees, and I think Wolves sat back, and you could see like Max Kilman, whatever, like these dudes.
The last
out there,
10
right?
minutes, but before that, I thought the draw was deserved.
I don't think they were. I mean, I think they created the better chances over the span of the game, and I think they deserved to win this game. However, it doesn't change the fact that they're not playing particularly well.
Not good.
You know, like you can read it both ways. If you believe, like Jan Åge Fjørtoft probably believes, that they've got another level that they can go to, then you say, hey, look, we're in this great position, right? We're second in the table. Imagine when we start playing well, then, you know, we'll click into an extra gear.
Yeah.
So you can look at it that way.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure based on the track where you look at it. But tell you what, you would take a second or 100%. Third place finish. That still would be an achievement
big
and
time.
A major step forward. Atletico Madrid beat Getafe 1-0, and they now have a 2-point lead over Real Madrid with 2 games in hand. Jules, how big would it be if El Cholo wins it all again?
Can you imagine? I mean, Shaka Hislop on the show last night said that they would win the double, the league and the Champions League.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure. I think Shaka was a bit optimistic there. But listen, the title is theirs to lose for now, for sure, even if I think you and I still consider Real Madrid to still very much be in contention. But
in contention, yes.
In contention. But it would be great for Cholo. That he has evolved. That team has evolved. And even if they didn't play great like yesterday against Getafe, they're still winning. And they're still so strong defensively. One of the best defensive in the whole of Europe.
And they've also had that extra dimension going forward.
Yeah. When it rains, it pours. With Messi watching from the stand and showing his frustration at full time, Barcelona are held 1-1 by Eibar. And on top of that, Coutinho is now out for 4 months.
Well, first of all, on Messi. Messi flew back. Messi got a few days off in Argentina, right? He flew back a couple hours. He arrived like a couple hours before kickoff. I mean, to me, I just want to read into that a little bit, that surely if he'd said, oh, I want to stay, you know, and come back on January 1st or December 31st, Koeman would have let him. It's almost, Koeman's going to, not going to tell him what to do. I think this is important that he was there and he felt the need to support his teammates. Coutinho out for 4 months, it's one less body. Maybe it might make some more order. I think still the issue is Koeman. I don't want to see the back three. I don't need to see that. I see the logic, but then you don't have other bodies to go in.
They didn't play badly.
Big mistake from Ronald Araujo, who was all right otherwise. But still, it's messy with a Y.
Yeah.
This is the definition of Barcelona right now. You want to make sure the definition is messy with an I. See what I did there?
Oh, good.
Mikel Arteta gets some breathing space as Arsenal beat Brighton 1-0. Jules, are they actually better with the kids? Give me some Emile Smith-Rowe, please.
Yeah, he was good. Love him. I mean, he's so sweet as well, and he's a good kid, and he has that energy, and he has everything. I don't think he'd be one for stats and, you know, goals and assist and everything, but he brings a lot to your team. But it can only be Bukayo Saka. I mean, he's 19, Gab. The decision making of, he's so intelligent. He knows exactly what to do when. It's just, for me, it's incredible to see him at that level, to see that he's the best player in that team, to see that he carries that team in a position as a right winger that is not even his position, that has never been. And yet,
what is his position? Because he's played everywhere.
Yeah, I think you would think that at least on the left-hand side, because he's left-footed, probably be better. But it was more in the sense that he'd never played in that position. Right. I'm not saying that maybe that's not his best position, but for him to have never played there and now play there against Chelsea and against Brighton and be so influential in those two games is great. I think it's great to see.
Yeah, if only Arsenal hadn't signed. But whatever. I don't want to go back there.
The very handsome Olivier Giroud, my boy, isn't enough for Chelsea as they draw with Aston Villa 1-1 at Stamford Bridge. Gab, they've taken 4 points out of a possible 15 in the last 5 league games. This is not good enough.
No, at least the performance was better against Villa. You know, that goal they gave up was a bit of a freak goal with Christensen on the ground. And, you know, I'm not blaming Villa for not putting the ball out of play. I thought it was a bit sneaky how Grealish, like, falls over. Ah, I'm hurt. Then he just gets up and starts running. But then I heard on television from the helpful collective of ex-pros, well, why didn't Christensen just get up? I don't know. Maybe because he was hurt. I mean, whatever. Performance, a little bit better. Still plenty of work to do. It's December 31st, the day we celebrate Sir Alex Ferguson's birthday, and also the day we hope Mauricio Pochettino will be named as PSG manager. Will he be your Sir Alex?
Yes, he will. Come on, Poch. We're waiting for him. It's a matter of hours, of days. Could be today, could be tomorrow.
Could be next year.
But he will be, and let's hope that he has a career. You know, no one can beat Sir Alex Ferguson's career, but at least a little bit of that, and I'll take it. Leeds United apologised for the abuse directed at former England women's player Karen Kearney after the official account put a tweet out highlighting some of the comments that she made about the club before the game against West Bromwich. Gab, your thoughts?
So she went on television, she was part of her punditry, she went on television and she said that, you know, Leeds were promoted because of COVID, because of the COVID break, her implication being that in previous years, Leeds United had, they were tired at the end, they dropped points, but that the COVID break allowed them to go and win. Now, it's a kind of a silly opinion because they'd won 5 in a row going into the COVID break and whatever else. I don't think it's a good look when an official club account singles out a pundit for stating an opinion, even if it's a silly opinion. And I think Karen Kearney's opinion is wrong.
Or clumsy, because, the point is that for everyone, he gives you more energy and re-energizes your team.
No, so this is the reason they were promoted. Whatever. But I don't want to go there. But when you start singling people out, there's a reason clubs don't do it, because it's a stupid thing to do. Do it if they say something libelous or something factually incorrect.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're picking on her. And the upshot of this is because Karen Kearney, as you probably implied by her name, is a woman. Inevitably, when you put in your account, you're inviting, it wasn't a majority, it was a minority, a group of people who put out some really nasty gender-based abuse over the fact that her opinions are rubbish because she's a woman.
Yeah.
That's simply wrong. It's not what you want. Leeds, well done Leeds for apologizing for it. It doesn't mean her opinion is correct, because it's not. I think it's wrong. But let's not create this environment.
No, you know? I agree with you.
We're taping on the morning of New Year's Eve. There are some hours and even games left today. But assuming nothing crazy happens, like, say, Alexander Isak scoring 20-plus goals against Athletic Bilbao, Cristiano Ronaldo will end 2020 as the year's top scorer in all competitions with 33. Does this mean much? Anything?
Okay, I mean, it's a stat. Lewandowski was still the better striker.
No. Fanboys are coming forward. Get you. It means so much.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
After years of veteran signing, Juventus are aggressively pursuing kids, Gab. They've been linked to FC Dallas defender Brian Reynolds and Genoa playmaker Nicolò Rovella. Both are 19. You're happy with that?
I am. Look, this is the way forward. This is what they got to do. Partly because they have less money, despite their re-upping their sponsorship with Jeep. But fact of the matter is, they need to go forward. I know nothing about Brian Reynolds. I just know he plays
for
FC Dallas.
I can tell you that.
Okay, you're a big MLS watcher, more than me.
Yeah.
But Rovella, I've seen plenty of. He's a midfield playmaker. He's got guts. He can pass. Absolutely, this is what they should be doing.
But he's worked before, Coman, but sometimes Berardi doesn't work.
Then what happens is, well...
But then there's always a value to them anyway. So
exactly. In the past, they'd get the kids and then they wouldn't play them and then they'd ditch them to go and pay for Sami Khedira's wages. Tim Vosumensa has reportedly rejected a 3-year contract extension from Manchester United. Jules, his deal is up in the summer. He's made just one Premier League appearance this year. Is he smart to test the free agency waters, or is he better off on the Phil Jones plan?
On who?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's good, my man. That's good, Timothy. You're not happy
back
with the
yourself.
Contract. Exactly. You go. You played well against PSG and then they never played you again. So go somewhere else where you'll have plenty of time and you can enjoy your football. Jimmy Greaves has been awarded an MBE by the Queen. His family says it's too little, too late. Gab, can you understand where they're coming from?
Absolutely. Everybody in the 66 World Cup team gets his MBEs and his honors. He doesn't because he's injured and he misses the final. He scored 44 goals for England. He played throughout the tournament. He's one of the greatest strikers, if not the greatest striker in the history of English league football. It's ridiculous you have to wait till now. He's 80 years old. He's unwell. He's had a stroke.
It's really sad.
Too little, too late.
Yeah.
Sevilla beat Villarreal 2-0 to nose ahead of them into fourth place. Jules, they also have two games in hand, like Atletico Madrid. Are you writing them off as potential champions?
I'm not writing them off, but it's a long shot. Come on, you know it's a long shot. Even in that game against Villarreal, they didn't play great. They were very efficient, and Nisiri, the second goal, is great. And it's a great transition,
Ocampos
with a penalty. And,
by the way, I didn't say this earlier in the show because I just forgot. But you know the penalty Barcelona missed? Okay,
Braithwaite
took it. Braithwaite had missed his four previous penalty attempts.
Yeah, in the league. Two for Toulouse, one for Leganés.
And I thought to myself, like, why? Well, I love Martin Braithwaite, right? Is there really nobody else on the pitch who can take a freaking penalty?
Right, Griezmann, but he's missed a few as well.
Why don't you let Sergino Dest take it? Find out if he can take penalties. I digress. But you know, I'll tell you what. So you're not convinced of Sevilla.
I'm not convinced. It's just I'm a bit like, okay, yeah, it's a lovely team, and I love Julen Lopetegui, and the story is great, and Monchi, and everything you want. But I don't know if Luke de Jong or Youssef En-Nesyri can win you La Liga this season. That's what I'm saying.
I'll say this. Lopetegui, after the game, he said, well, you know, we beat one of the best, if not the best teams in La Liga, in Villarreal. Now, was he making fun of Unai Emery? I don't know. Unai Emery, by the way, looked weirder than usual. I tweeted a picture of him where he has his shoe up. He's got little teeny tiny feet. He's like a little elf. Anyway, but I thought it was interesting that I wonder if Lopetegui really thinks Villarreal are the best team in La Liga. Now, I know why he might have said that, because he probably hates Atletico Madrid's football. He probably doesn't really like Real Madrid for obvious reasons. I just thought, that's a pretty good statement, Julen.
Nice tackle to end 2020. The Ninja is ready to descend on Sardinia. Again, Raja Nainggolan is leaving Inter to rejoin Cagliari. A chance to revive his career?
Well, first of all, I take issue. Okay, first of all, he's got one of the coolest nicknames out there, right?
The Ninja.
It's also one of the least appropriate, because ninjas are supposed to be ascetic warrior monks, you know, whose body is their temple.
Yeah,
clearly
almost
that
discreet.
Is not.
What? Almost very discreet.
Very discreet, low-key, deadly, silent assassins. There's nothing silent about Raja. Look, it's good for Inter. Presumably, they're still stuck paying part of his wages. He's not there. He's not going to play. He's fun to watch as a fan. He's 32 years old. I think, you know, we're seeing the end credits here.
Yeah.
Lothar Matthäus has weighed in on Jogi Löw, and Captain Obvious says he and the high command of the German FA should all be sacked if they screw up Euro 2020. Jules, harsh but fair?
They should have all been sacked after 2018 anyway. So they got lucky they're still there.
Maybe not everybody, but...
Well, you know.
I said earlier about ex-pros like coming out and saying like very obvious things, but you know, I think that, you know, Jogi Löw
he's different.
He's a legend.
Diego Costa has cancelled his contract with Atletico Madrid, as we expected. Gab, I don't think this is the sort of thing that you do unless you have already another club lineup, right?
Right, yeah. You wait until you have the other club and then you cancel it because you don't like leaving money on the table.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not spoken to Kia Jurapshin to know where the talented Mr. Costa will take his talents next. I think if he's hungry, and I don't mean hungry in that way because we've seen that before, but I mean if he's fit and he's motivated, he looks fit, certainly. I think he can help short term if it's the right club. And that right club, by the way, is not AC Milan, despite what some people are suggesting. But
you know, I think, they'd be takers for sure.
Wolves? We talked about Wolves before.
Yeah,
no, but more really. By the way, we talked about it, and then somebody linked them. I saw this somewhere on the internet. I don't know.
You know.
I don't think that's going to happen. Although Costa, given the nature of the last name, would make him an ideal fit, right? You have a Costa, a Silva. You know.
Yeah, you've got plenty. Yeah,
makes sense at Wolves.
Yeah, definitely.
Sergej Kolasinac is on his way out of Arsenal, reportedly joining Schalke. Jules, he's a masochist, right? Given that Schalke haven't won, I think, in longer than Oliver Burke.
Yeah, the whole of the year, the whole of the calendar. But this is his club, you know. So he came from Schalke. If he wants to go back there, it's good for him. And maybe he's the savior. Maybe he would go there and change everything.
By the way, I saw conflicting reports about this, you might know. Sky Germany reporting that, Arsenal will cover part of his wages, but he's also going to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
And so I said, much respect, we really pay cuts. This is not a dig at Mesut Ozil or any other footballer, right? If you have a contract, it's entirely your right to wait till the end. I'm not saying you have to go and do this, right? But do we know if he's taking a pay cut? Does it matter? Is there a chance he might come back? Because his deal's through 2022, if I'm not mistaken.
I think there's another year after this one, yeah.
So he could come back. But I just want to also I kind of like Kolasinac because he's badass. And if you haven't seen the video of him protecting Mesut on the main streets Was it Belsize Park, Hampstead or whatever?
Hampstead, yeah.
Those really dangerous streets of Hampstead, you know, go check it out. But people have slammed him. Oh, he could have left in the summer, but he couldn't agree terms with Bayer Leverkusen to take a pay cut. Yeah, maybe. Or maybe he looked at it and he said, okay, who are Arsenal's left backs? Okay, it's Kieran Tierney, but then he might play a back three. And so then I got a shot here, right? When I'm up against what? Ainsley freaking Maitland-Niles? I can take him. I'm the Bosnian badass, right? I mean, I don't fault him for doing that. But after 6 months, if he's not there,
exactly,
he's got 18 months to go.
And I think he deserves a lot of respect for that. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Completely. Burnley have a new American owner, ALK Capital. Gab, that leaves just three English clubs with English owners, who are not tax exiles,
like Joe Louis.
Like Joe Louis,
yes,
exactly.
Sort of English in theory only.
Yeah.
And it's funny. And of those three clubs, right, one of them is West Ham, who are owned by the unholy trinity.
Yeah.
The other one is Newcastle, who, of course, the guy's been trying to sell the club or pretending to try to sell the club, and whose fans can't wait for him to go. Cans, by the way. The one guy remaining is Tony Bloom and at Brighton, and it's not clear if they'll be in the Premier League next year. So it's pretty remarkable because, you know, you could end up with a situation where next season, if Newcastle are sold and if Brighton go down, West Ham, who won the World Cup in 1966, could be the only club with English owners. I don't know what these guys are going to bring. Apparently, they said that, you know, they were only buying the club if Sean Dyche sticks around, which I guess kind of makes sense for this season, because I think most would agree that should Sean Dyche leave in the middle of the year, Burnley would go down, right?
Yeah, I think that'd be a bad idea.
But we'll see what they pick. I mean, I know very little about them. The lead guy was involved with Real Salt Lake City back in 2008 or something, and supposedly is a very clever guy. The other guys involved are all bankers. I'm led to believe that you don't buy Burnley as some kind of power play because you think it's going to appreciate in value very much. You do it in part because you want to be a good steward, and in part because, you know, you want to enjoy running your football.
You would think so.
Good.
Yeah, you would think so for sure.
Oliver Burke has broken a special record, which we thought would stand for a long time, by none other than Gareth Bale.
You're right. Gareth Bale, after he moved from Southampton to Spurs, stayed 24 Premier League games without a win. 24 is in a row with no winning. And you're right, we thought no one would beat that, but hey, well done, Oliver Burke. You did it. You did it, my friend. Between West Brom and Sheffield United, you managed 25 games without a win.
I don't know what to say.
I don't know what to say.
Gareth Bale must be heartbroken.
Gareth Bale heartbroken. Oliver Burke heartbroken. And for all we know, this might continue a little bit, seeing off Sheffield United's current form as well.
2 points and last in the table.
Yeah. Super Mario Balotelli finally makes his debut for Monza in Serie B in Italy and scores within 4 minutes of his debut. Gab, is this the moment finally he relaunches his career?
I hope so. I mean, look, Monza is a special club for me because growing up as a kid and needing to pretend I was neutral, Monza were my local club. It is literally the closest football ground to where my grandfather lived. I went to see them many times. Shout out to the mighty Fulvio Saini and Gigi Casiraghi, both Monza legends. Now they've been taken over by Silvio Berlusconi, former Milan owner, who's pumped money into the club. It would be awesome. I know Monza is not technically Milan, but effectively 3 Milanese clubs in Serie A. Roll on the Biancorossi. Why not, man?
Well done,
roll on
Mario.
Super Mario. There you go. This is the start of a beautiful friendship.
I know, exactly.
Right, that brings us to an end. One important thing to do, two important bits of housekeeping before we go. One is, it's Sir Alex Ferguson's birthday. Happy birthday, Sir Alex. We know you're an avid watcher of the show and listener of the podcast. Also, check out my 30 wishes for 2021.
30, that's a lot of wishes.
It's every year for the past, this is the eighth year in a row that I've done this. Single most important one, we want local kids to support their local club because they have local ties too, right? Yeah. You did that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Paris Saint-Germain, there you go. Yeah. There you go. And I did the same with Monza. Yeah. So that's special too. Don't just go off and follow the big clubs you see on TV because they win. Don't be a homer. Don't be that kind of fan. Anyway, should we come back and do this next year?
In 2021.
We'll be back on Monday. No rest for the wicked. Until then, love the game, love your neighbor, love yourself.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.